He's just going to pray again if I pray, so I'm just going to let him do it. But I do just want to mention, after the service, I mean, it's out there right now, but after the service, we'll have some people back at a book table, and we have some resources out there, some resources on prayer, on the Word, on the Holy Spirit. And so if you're touched by the message, and maybe you haven't been exposed to Corey's ministry much, I just encourage you to pick up one of the books out there on your way out. All right.
Amen. I love Stephen Venable. What a gift. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Well, it's an honor to be with you guys, and brought my oldest daughter, Trinity, with me. Wave your hand, Trinity. There she is. She loves being seen, so just go ahead and keep looking at her. So, we've been there from Northwest Arkansas originally, and we've been in Kansas City almost 17 years. And so, I got wrecked. I was sharing my testimony this morning. I had a radical salvation in February of 1997. Got struck by the power of God in a college parking lot. And I was deep into drugs, alcohol, rebellion, and the touch of God hit my life and changed me forever. And we saw a move of the Holy Spirit, and I began to make my early best friends three old women. You know, I mean, really old. They're like in their 40s. I'm just playing. Couple of 50-year-olds and one 80-year-old woman. And these girls taught me how to pray. And we saw a move of God, and the Lord began to connect us to what God was doing in Kansas City. And we moved up there 2 days after graduating. I'm an elementary teacher by degree. And 2 days after graduating, we moved to Kansas City to become intercessory missionaries. In a snowstorm with $500 of confirmed support, rent was $540 and Trinity was $1. So we just jumped in and said, let's just jump in and see how this thing takes us. And here we are 17 years later, and God's been good, and I'm wrecked. It's in my DNA. I grew up with a dad who worked in a factory for 30 years and never missed a day. And I think it's in my DNA. So whatever you sign up for and give yourself to, you don't miss. And even if you're missing a leg, you show up. And that's just in my DNA. And that's what God's wrecked me with as it regarding to prayer. And to the he's called me to prayer. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And we've been talking with the students today about how Jesus forever lives to make intercession. That's what our older brother is doing right now at the right hand of the Father. He is able to save us to the uttermost, since he always lives to make intercession. And there is a man at the right hand of the Father forever living to make intercession. And you and I have been born again into this ministry. I want to call all of us into that ministry of intercession in a glorious way. Look with me in Luke 11, if you have your Bibles. It's what I care about. We love to have times, but I write books and release resources to equip us in that life of developing it. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. You're so good. I'm just glad to be in the room. Amen? I'm just glad to be here. Well, we're going to get to Luke 11. We're going to look at Luke 11, 1 through 13, but before we do, I think it's so interesting that right before Luke 11 is Luke 10, 38 through 42, that if you're anywhere around the IHOP or Acts world, Luke 10, 38 through 42 is one of those seminal passages to where it's the Mary Martha, Jesus in Bethany, and Martha busy, and in Luke 10, verse 39, it says that she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In the middle of all the busyness, all the hysteria, all the stuff going on, Mary swam against the current of busyness and took her seat at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says one simple phrase about her: she sat at his feet and she heard his word. That is absolutely profound. You know what happens? Martha gets stirred up, tells Jesus, saying, tell her to get off her lazy behind and help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part, and this will not be taken away from her. I love it that Jesus defended Mary, and Mary let Jesus do the fighting for her, and she swam against the current and found herself at his feet. And I can't think of anything more countercultural in the middle of America in 2017. And as things, pressures begin to mount, life begins to ensue, things go on, we grow our families, the demands of life increase, the most countercultural thing you can do is swim against the current of busyness and the tyranny of the urgent and find yourself at his feet and let him do the talking while you shut up. Are you with me tonight? All right. Letting him do the talking while you shut up. And I think it's so interesting that in Luke 11, Jesus just doesn't command sitting at his feet and hearing his word, but he's actually going to do what he just commended Mary for doing. Let's look in Luke 11, verse 1. And I want y'all to pull on it tonight, okay? Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And what I just want to pull a couple of thoughts here from this first verse. Number one, what would it have been like to watch Jesus talk to the Father? What would it have been like to watch God the Son talk to God the Father through God the Spirit? I counted it up one time in the Gospels. There's over 175 verses in the Gospels of either Jesus teaching on prayer or praying himself. It wasn't a side ministry or a salt on the meal while the real work is done. Jesus' bone, DNA, and marrow of his life was lived communing with heaven and then manifesting it on the earth. Jesus lived in prayer. Number one, what would it have been like to watch him talk? The intimacy, the vulnerability, the majesty, the width, the breadth, the transparency of watching him lift his eyes. I love John 16, 33. It's that last night. And he's in his upper room discourse and he goes, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And without skipping a beat, he goes, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He goes to talking into, and he lifted his eyes to heaven. And he says, Father, the hour's come. Glorify your Son, that he may also glorify you, as you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And Jesus launches into 26 verses of God talking to God through God. And we get to watch him talk to him. We get to see the intimacy. We get to see him talking about things about glory before the foundation of the world. As we begin to realize Jesus is older than 33 years old, when he starts meditating on his pre-existent glory with the Father, as he starts talking about, Father, all the ones you've given me, I've lost none of them. I love how he says that. You gave them all and I kept them all. And I've kept them in your name. And then he prays for me and you to watch him talk to Abba. I want that intimacy. I want that effortless talking to you into communing with heaven to move back and forth in my life. I don't want it to be just a religious set apart of my life, but I want to move in between two places all the time. Number one, they watched him pray. It says in Luke 5:16 that he often withdrew before daylight and he prayed. There he is at 3 a.m. getting up again. I think it's such a sign of his humility that he, fully God, he comes in the likeness of a man. And as a man filled with the Spirit, I believe that Jesus would wake up at 3 in the morning and wrestle in breakthroughs for the next days of ministry. I believe in the same way we have to labor to see breakthroughs, so Jesus would have to labor in prayer to see breakthrough. We just assume because he's God, he's just going to walk under the open heaven. I believe that he sought heaven to see endowment and fresh releases all the time. That's the first thought that I can take away from this. Number two, Jesus as a leader. I would say Jesus is the greatest leader ever, wouldn't you? Two of you think that. I think he is. This blows me away that the greatest leader ever, I believe that his greatest model of discipleship, get a hold of this, was letting his disciples watch him pray. And I believe that God is raising up leaders who quit hiding away in just back rooms, but begin to invite a generation saying, come watch me engage with heaven. They watched him engage with the Father. And I believe that is a sign for leaders to provoke that. I'm patterning it. This is what I want to see in my own life. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about I want it to be normal that when my daughter walks in on the mornings that I'm home or in the house, I want her walking in at 7 a.m. and seeing me on the couch or seeing you as moms on the couch, tears in your eyes, and you've been encountered. I want our kids to see us crying. I want them to see us praying. I want them to hear tongues at 3 in the morning when they get up to pee. I want them to get, I'm talking about real life in the middle of mom back in tongues on the way at the grocery store. And just living a life of this. And that's what Jesus let them watch him do that. And number three, who would have loved to have heard Jesus preach? One person in the back would have. I would have. Yeah, me too, honey. You know, this is what they look like by the... I love when Jesus does a Sermon on the Mount and then he opened his mouth. What's he going to say? He drops the Sermon on the Mount on the planet. Talk about been sitting on a message. He's been quiet for 30 years. He does some revival services, gets the crowd and goes, now I'm about to release something that's been on my heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what they look like by the end of the Sermon on the Mount? The Bible says they were astonished. They were astonished, mouths hanging open. I love it that they, one of the times they told the guards to go get him, and he goes, we've never heard a man speak like this before. Who would have loved to have heard the messages as this man talked about God, not as some distant, but as a person that he knew. He talked about the kingdom in such simple yet profound realities that required, sometimes they made sense, other times nobody had a clue what he was talking about. I would have loved to have heard him preach. Who would have loved to have seen the miracles? Blind eyes pop open, deaf ears pop open, lame walking. I would have loved to have seen Lazarus come out mummified 4 days later. I would have loved to have seen 5,000 men, not including women and children, fed from 5 loaves and 2 fish. I would have loved to have seen every miracle. I would have loved to have seen Jesus, the demon buster, releasing great deliverances, wouldn't you? He was a walking demon buster. Make no mistake about it. He cast out spirits with a word. I would have loved to have seen the woman at the well as prophetic evangelism in full extreme where Jesus says, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had 5 and you're living with a man. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Yeah. He's got a little something on his life. This is what blows me away. These disciples spent morning, noon, and night for 3.5 years. They were there at breakfast. They were there in the revival services. They were there at campfire chats after revival services. And they spent every waking hour for 3.5 years. And we don't see one recorded time teach us to preach. Teach us to heal. Teach us to deliver. Teach us to prophesy. Teach us to do mercy deeds. Teach us to do miracles. They connected the dots that Jesus' public life of ministry was the result of his private life of prayer. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And oh, for a generation that would begin to cry out again. I'm grateful for the prophets that tell us we need to pray. We all know we need to pray. We need moms and dads that take a generation by the hand and introduce us to the realms of heaven and teach us how to engage with heaven and to pull down the things of heaven into our life. We need a generation of mothers and fathers that teach a generation how to pray. And if the Son of God provoked this out of the ones who saw him the most, what are the people who see you the most asking you to do for them? Corey, I want to preach like you. I want your networking ability. I want your wisdom strategies. I want your church planning models. I want this. I want that. And all of those things are right and they have their place. But above everything, they go, you have touched something. You've gotten a hold of something, and that's what emanates off your life, not how gifted you are in the 20 other areas. You're fragrant with heaven. You carry heaven's aroma on your life. When you speak, heavens move, angels move, demons move. Oh, if we had leaders birthed again, leaders that would provoke that. And I'm saying, if my life isn't provoking this, what else am I doing? Teach us to pray. Well, Jesus, I love his answer because he's about to take us into the Lord's Prayer. You've been praying this prayer your whole life. We know this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Kingdom come, will be done. But it's so interesting, the first line of the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus says, okay, who wants to learn about prayer? And they go, well, we do. Teach us about prayer. Because he also says John taught his disciples. Not only did Jesus teach his disciples about prayer, John the Baptist taught his disciples about prayer. This is the true leadership model, is that you teach people to pray. But you can only take people where you've been and where you're at. Jesus says, okay, who wants to learn about prayer? Because he's about to give us the Lord's Prayer, Father, Heaven, Holy. He goes, okay, this is the first thing I want you to learn. First lesson in prayer. Write down your list of everything you need me to fix in your life. Save Uncle John. Heal Aunt Barbara. Barbara's my name. Touch Bobby. Deliver Susie. I need money. I need money. I need money. That's usually the other three to four we need down in there. Jesus says, okay, give me the list. I think I got it all. He goes, okay, give me the list. Jesus looks at it, and then he does this. First lesson of prayer. It's not about your list. It's not about what you're going to put God on trial, that if he doesn't do, you're going to keep your heart at a distance. He says, when you think prayer, you think list. When I think prayer, I think person. When you pray, say, I want to introduce you to someone. Are you ready to go up? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He takes us to the throne. He introduces us to his Father. He introduces us to where he lives. And he introduces him to the word that surrounds the throne, holy. Father, heaven, holy. Father, heaven, holy. He goes, I want to introduce you to a person. I want to introduce you to a place. And I want to introduce you to his name. It's really good. That's what we spent this morning talking about, is the need for the spirit of revelation. Prayer doesn't begin with your shopping list. Prayer doesn't begin with the things that you have to have God break in now upon. Because a lot of us will put God on trial saying, if you break in on these three or four areas, I'll put more in the tithe bucket. I'll serve more next year. I'll do more. And most of us secretly keep God at bay. And he goes, uh-uh. I want you to get up there. I want you to get up into the throne room and let the throne life and the throne love and the throne power possess your soul. I want you to see the sights and the sounds, and you get lost into the spirit of revelation where you lock eyes with the holy, holy, the worthy, worthy, the beauty, beauty, and that you would see my Father. I love Jesus for sharing his Father with the whole earth. We could spend the rest of the time talking on the Father of glory, the Father of mercies, the Father of lights. He's absolutely stunning. He's the Father that embraces prodigals while they're still a great way off and gives them second inheritances as if they never lost the first one. And then he runs out to the older brother in religion and battles for him to get into the house. Father's always running outside the house to get the one bound in religion and the one bound in sin, both into the Father's house. He's saying, I want to pull you into that place of intimacy. I want you to know my heart. Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, of great kindness. I'm the Father that seeks the lost. I'm the Father that goes after the one. I'm the one that goes. I seek everything. I'm the one that is extravagant, that's generous, and I'm strong, and I'm mighty, and I'm righteous. Oh, for the need of the spirit of revelation. Because most of us think what we need from God, and he says, you need to understand where you pray from. I want to take you up in the spirit of revelation. He says, because when you begin to get connected to Revelation chapter 4 and the throne room of God. Revelation 4 gives us the throne room of God. And what you see in Revelation 4 is what Jesus is talking about in Luke 11. The Father on his throne, shining, burning, emerald rainbow, lightning, thunderings, voices, seven lamps of fire, burning creatures surrounding the throne. Because Jesus says, when you begin to awaken to that reality and the spirit of revelation comes upon your life, there's going to come one prayer that will begin to break out of your life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, once you begin to touch the atmosphere of heaven, you will pull it down into your marriage, into your family, into your finances, into your situations. But I want to see it. Do you know how to go up? Do you know how to ascend? Do we even have context of what that even understands? I mean, Paul tells us in Colossians 3 that we've been raised with Christ and seated together with him in heavenly places. He says our citizenship is in heaven. And Paul says in light that you've been raised with Christ. If you've been raised with Christ, this is what you do. You take these 6 inches. Just lock in with me. You take these 6 inches and you set them on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It is an apostolic command to become more heavenly minded than earthly minded. It is an apostolic command. It's not a, yeah, that's for the prophetic swirly people. No, I'm serious. We see it as some sideshow. Like, we want to stay grounded, brother. We want to stay rooted and grounded. Jesus is teaching us to pray. He says, you got to get connected. You need to take these 6 inches and to begin to shift the atmosphere of your thought life and set your mind where Christ is. Where is Christ sitting at the right hand of God? He says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So in essence, if you're up there, you need to get up there. How do I get up there? You think on heaven. You fill your mind with the heavenly realities, the heavenly throne room, the place where Christ is seated. You fill your mind with heavenly realities and you let that become your beginning point and your reality. Paul keeps hitting it. We have been raised with Christ and seated together with him in heavenly places. So Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. Father, heaven, holy. Kingdom come, will be done, earth as it is in heaven. He goes, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. And then Jesus, without skipping a beat, he says, oh, you want to learn about prayer? He goes, okay, prayer 101. And now Jesus is going to take us into a parable. He goes, okay, everybody's ready for class. First class in prayer, here it is. I want you all to go to sleep tonight. And around midnight, there's going to come a rude, inconvenient knock at the door of your life. You're not going to see it coming. You're not going to know how it's going to happen. And it's just going to show up and it's going to awaken you from your sleep. It's going to expose your barrenness and it's going to drive you to your knees. He's about to take us into the parable of the friend of midnight. Jesus says, here's your second lesson in prayer. There's going to come midnight knocks at the door of your life that you didn't see coming. And these knocks are going to expose you. And you have several options when the knock comes to the door of your life. I don't know what they look like. There's 1,000 different stories. But the point is, it jars you out of nice Christianity, saying my nice prayers, and it alarms you. Jesus is saying prayer is learned at inconvenient hours. Prayer is learned at midnight. Prayer, this is where prayer is learned, is where you don't have all your religious garb on and you're in your perfect place. It's when you get jarred out of your sleep. You're not ready. You're disoriented. You didn't see it coming. And he goes, and that is where prayer gets formed on the inside of you. He says, I'm not looking for polished praying. I'm looking for guttural, deep reachings of the heart that need breakthrough in God. There are different knocks that come to the door of your life. And you can do several things with this knock. Number one, you can act like you don't hear it and stay in nice Religiousville. Number two, you can try to answer the door and try to meet all the answers of that knock in your own strength. Or you can do what Jesus called the disciples to do. He says, you're going to get awakened at midnight. You're going to come to the door. You're going to open it. And there's a friend that's coming to you. And the friend needs a breakthrough. Needs the reality of Christ. The resource of heaven. And this thing is going to awaken you. And it's going to expose you because you don't have the bread. And it's going to drive you to your knees because you know someone who told you you can come anytime and he will give you as much bread as you need. And Jesus says, and now this is going to drive you to your knees and you're going to begin to knock at the door of heaven for a breakthrough. Maybe it's a breakthrough in a marriage. Maybe it's a child that grew up in a church home and then left and he's gone astray. Maybe there's a war over marriages, a war over children, a war in finances. It could be a whole list of knocks that come into the door of your life that take Christianity from a nice pie in the sky into the guttural place where prayer is birthed. He says, and you're going to come knocking at my door. And for the first time, when you need an immediate breakthrough, you're going to hear a voice from the other side. And the voice is this: I'm not getting up. My children are with me in bed. It's late. You're not getting your breakthrough now. And Jesus now paints this picture of saying, what do you do when you need a breakthrough now? And the God who said you could come anytime and he would give breakthrough, you're finding resistance and it's not happening on your timetable. What do you do then? How do you pray then? When you're exposed and barren. Guys, I want to tell you, young people, I've been doing this for 17 years. And it's this furnace is where I see young people lose it. Because God isn't breaking in on their timetable. He offends them. They come up with new theologies. Prayer isn't as important as they thought. They'll come up with new doctrines. They'll come up with all kinds of new things, new callings. God leading them into a new season. But at the end of the day, it's the pain of living in that furnace. Of God saying, I'm not getting up. What you gonna do about it? Jesus tells us what they does. He says, I tell you, he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend. Which means there is something even on the other side of relationship. But because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. Everybody say persistence. That's shocking to me because most of it is all about relationship. I'm a son. I'm a bride. I have intimacy. But Jesus says, yes, you do. But there's a place called persistence. There's a place on the other side of relationship. It's rooted in relationship, but it goes beyond relationship. What do you do? He goes, you continually knock at that door. What keeps us in the furnace when God isn't breaking in on the timetable and the thing we need now, it's almost like he's resisting us and it's getting worse. What keeps us there? It's because we know who he is. We know he has and we know he wants to give. And number three, we know who we are before him. And that's what keeps us in that furnace. And I believe it's what separates leaders from everybody else. Leaders are the ones who don't quit. The ones who break through into something new in their life are the ones who said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to die on this mountain. Have you been there, friend? Have you ever been in this kind of place? Maybe not. If you want to grow in prayer, you will. Jesus says he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. I love that. Because God says, I want to do more than just meet your individual need. I want to open up the door, run a conveyor belt of bread, and begin to run it into your life to where you begin to walk under an open heaven because of that long night of wrestling that you wrestled and broke through into something in God. I believe that there are night wrestles, midnight wrestles that win doors over our life that we will have access to the resource of heaven as much as we need it for the rest of our life. I believe that there are doors that open that get won through those dark nights. He will give to him as many as he needs. He wants to do more than meet your individual need. He wants to make you a conduit of the resource of heaven to all that you come into contact with. Jesus gives us the parable, and without skipping a beat, he looks at Gloria. He looks at Corey. He looks at you. He looks at Chase, and he says, "So I say to you, ask, you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened." And Jesus now is going to take it up to a whole nother life. He goes, "For everyone who asks, receives. I'm not a respecter of persons. I'm not into a select group. But everyone who enters into the law and the principle of persistence, they will receive, they will find, and they will that the doors will be opened." Jesus then looks at us and he tells this: "If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask for this, will he give you that? If you ask for an egg, will he give you a scorpion?" What's Jesus saying? You have a good father. And your father's not into bringing you out, and the very thing you're crying out for, he's going to give you something else. What kind of father, first off, what kind of father would anybody here, you come to your dad saying, "Dad, I need an egg." And he says, "Okay, close your eyes." Takes a scorpion out of his back pocket. I mean, this is what Jesus said. Takes a scorpion out of the back, puts it in your hand, and the scorpion bites you and you die. What kind of messed up dad would do that? Yet I believe most believers guard our hearts and stay at a distance behind our prayer list, behind our nice little religious prayer lives, because of the pain of what would happen if we go all in prayer. If I don't look for a plan B, but God, I want to throw myself on you for a breakthrough in this specific area, and I don't have a plan B, and I need you, God. The very thing that you're asking for, he will give you. What kind of father does that? And Jesus, I love it. He closes it out. He says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Whew. I love it that Jesus sums up the whole life of prayer, and the whole teaching in prayer is, you really want the Holy Spirit, don't you? You want resource from heaven, don't you? You want the activity of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. You need breakthrough that no human answer can give. Nobody smart enough. Nobody rich enough. Nobody is wise enough to bring a human remedy. You need heavenly resource. He says, and if you being evil, cause all of us evil, which means we're limited in our capacities and we're fickle. He says, if you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want to see a new breed of leaders arise. Leaders in every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And that would begin to knock at doors. It would begin to knock at doors. You begin to knock at doors saying, God, I'm not going anywhere. And God, I'm throwing myself on you. You're a good father. I mean, I play hide and go seek with my daughter all the time, Hadassah, sometimes. And I tell her to turn around, hide, count to 10. And this is our rule, is I'll hide behind a chair. This will be by my hiding. And her rule is if she gets off into another room, I'll start making some bird noise. So she turns around after 10 and looking for me. I mean, I'm right here and she still can't see me. Then she goes off in the other room and I go, "Kah!" And she'll come in. "Dad, where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" And I'm pretty much making the noise until she comes and finds me. The point of the hiding is to be found. I don't tell her to hide, count to 10, and then I go in the backyard and get into a mile-long mine shaft. She'll never find me down here. I'm a better hider than she's a finder. 3 days later, she's twitching. And I'm still down there with my rations because I already set it up. It's a messed up dad. I think that's what most of us think that God does to us. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want the Holy Spirit, don't you? I need Holy Spirit activity in certain areas in my life. This city, this nation, the nations of the earth need the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit. And we need leaders that don't quit. We need leaders that stay in the furnace and don't come up with new doctrines because it didn't go the way they thought or the way they dreamed it would happen. I don't want to do bailout plans. I don't want to anesthetize the pain. I don't want to run from the pain. I want to live in the furnace. That's where you get formed. That's where you get formed into the image of Christ. That's where his perseverance gets worked in you. That's where his persistence gets worked in you. And that's where his character gets formed in you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask that God would visit us with the spirit of prayer tonight. Mark us. God, this is what we desire. I just want to ask, I want you to stand. What do you want on your gravestone? I want people that know me the most. And it's not about some great teaching on prayer or some great message you have on prayer. It's that, Mom, what is it you know about God? Young people, I want to tell you right now, I've signed up for 6 a.m. prayer. Because I want to go to bed by 9:45 or 10. And I found that most of the stuff I used to repent for happened after 10. And I want God to be the first conversation of my day. I want to look him in the face before I look any person in the face. I want to talk to him. I want to engage with heaven while my mind's still slow. Because I find that when God does the louder talking, I'm not as busy and I can receive more. I'd ask you to alter your lives and begin to say, God, I want to know you for real. I want to become a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. I believe that the greatest missions are going to flow out of leaders of prayer. That's where the divine ideas come. That's where the divine strategies come. That's where that divine authority comes. If you would say that tonight, you say, I don't even know. There's some of you in here that need that. Who in here has one of those knocks at the door of your life right now and you know you're in one of those things? It's awakened you and it's exposed you. You ever been exposed? You ever been exposed? You're not smart enough to get yourself out of this. You don't have enough money to get yourself out of this. There is no amount of money that gets you out of this. You need heaven to break in. Who wants to be a leader like Jesus of prayer? He is the man of prayer. Here, just open up your hands. Come on up, Troy. Fire. I feel like there's been some of you in this room that have kept your heart at bay because of the pain connected to throwing yourself fully on God. Father, here we are right now, and I ask you that you would visit us with the spirit of prayer tonight. We cry out like those disciples did to you, Jesus. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Take us by the hand. Take us into the throne room and teach us how to engage with heaven. God, we don't even know what to do or how to do it. God, deliver us from our lists. Deliver us from all the things that we think has to happen right now and connect us to a person. Connect us to a person, God. Get us delivered from list and connect us to a person. Because I promise you, once you connect to a person, it's not about list anymore. It's about words that you're offering for real people in real time, in real space, and you're watching him move on your behalf. Father, I ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I ask you, Father, that you would deliver us and that you would begin to take us by the hand and that we would connect to the Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now. If you want to say, I don't even know what to pray for you about, but if you'd like prayer, and I don't care whether it's, I want my kids seeing it at home. I want people, I want ones that I'm mentoring to see me doing it in the prayer room. How many people watch you pray? Jesus let them watch him pray. If you want the spirit of prayer to increase upon your life for the spirit of revelation, I want to invite you up here right now. We want to pray for you. Come on up here. Just line up across here. Come on, come on. Just push in right here. The greatest leader ever produced one prayer and one desire from his disciples. Us as Americans, we hate being exposed for something we don't have. We hate it. There's nothing more anti-American than I don't have. Nothing strikes at the core of our independence, our self-sufficiency, and our independence than the exposing of situations we can't bail out with money and wisdom. And that's what drives us to our knees. Father, I just pray that you would begin to mark leaders in this room. I ask you for that Luke 11 reality, God, to touch us in this room. What I love about prayer is anyone can do it. Increase your presence, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I just want you to engage with God right now.
Father, I just ask you to mark leaders, God.
God, I want to open up doors over a generation. I want to open up doors over nations. God, I want to open up doors over cities. I want to open up doors over my family. God, I pray that you would release the spirit of revelation upon us. Come, Holy Spirit. God, release breakthrough prayers.
Thousand generations, you
Fire. 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 Missionaries of prayer. Who wants the Holy Spirit? Lift your hands. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit right now. Release the Holy Spirit. Release the fire and the wind and the glory. Open doors. Right there, I want you to sing it. Right now. Over your Breakthrough. Breakthrough now. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in homes. Breakthrough in families. Breakthrough in bodies. Breakthrough. That's it. We are not those who shrink back, but we are those. Now just open up your hands right now. Holy Spirit, breathe on our hearts. Courage. Courage. Strength. Divine might. We are not those who shrink back, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, divine light, touch your soul right now. Hallelujah. I ain't going anywhere, God. I ain't going anywhere. I'm on you, God. Oh. Father, touch us. Pull it down. Come on now. 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 Thank you.
Let heaven come.
That's it. Lift your voices. Just another minute. Shandalabakaye. Shoto yorebo shoto.
Come down, she comes.
out on earth, on earth.
All lift our hands. Father, we cry out for the spirit of prayer. We ask you, God, as a community, Lord, we ask you for an increase of the spirit of prayer in our midst, an increase of the spirit of revelation, an increase of confident access before our Father in heaven. God, we cry out for more. God, we cry out for the Holy Spirit. We desire you, O God. We ask you, give us more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, for our young people, I ask you for an impartation of persistence, God. An impartation of perseverance, Lord. God, that in season, out of season, as the years go by, that we would be found on our knees before you, O God. Give us grace to endure, we cry out. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Corey, God. We ask you to bless Corey, Dana, and their children, Lord. Bless their family in every way. We love you and glorify you. We thank you for your presence and your faithfulness, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. We bless you. We're glad you were here. There are snacks, as we say every time. At the end of our services for our awkward transition, there are snacks. So go get snacks. Remember Corey's resources out in the lobby, that we have some books available by him. And we hope you have a great night. We'll see you next week.